are now listening to the Music Matters Media Podcast with your host, Lisa Hollihan. A show made to bridge the gap between mainstream musicians and artists on the rise. Discovering up-and-coming musicians and discussing all things music. Don't forget to follow us on social media.
Welcome, Music Matters Media family. Today we have a super exciting episode. We are talking about Ariana Grande's latest album, Eternal Sunshine. It just came out on March 8th of this year. After many years of taking a step away from music, her last album was back in 2020, and we're coming up on almost 4 years. So it is very exciting to have her back and to be able to review this for you guys today. Eternal Sunshine clocks in at 35 minutes with 13 tracks. And as of March 11th, she came out with a deluxe edition of the record, which has Troy Sivan on the track Supernatural. And it also has the Yes And remix with Mariah Carey. And we have Imperfect For You acoustic and True Story a cappella. So those are some fun additions to the original record. But for today's album review, Eric and I are going to be tackling the standard release because there is a lot to cover on this thing. And it's notable to say that on its release day, Eternal Sunshine received 58.1 million streams on Spotify globally, achieving the record for the most single-day streams for an album in 2024. So the most streamed album thus far of this year. That's pretty incredible, Eric.
Certainly impressive indeed. And once we start diving into this, I mean, it's really no surprise why, especially because this album just comes at such a pivotal point, not just in her career, but in her life. So honestly, a well-deserved accolade, but mostly just a very impressive feat overall. I mean, I genuinely cannot believe that it's been this long since we've spoken about Ariana Grande on this podcast.
Right? So just a fun little tidbit to all of our listeners. The last time we spoke about Ariana Grande on this podcast was back in 2019. I had to go back in the archives of our show and I actually listened to that episode because I just wanted to see what our thoughts were at the time of what was going on in her music career. And if you guys want to go check out that episode and hear what we had to say back then, that was of her Sweetener tour and that was of her record Thank You Next. We did a review of that record and it was kind of a combination between Sweetener and Thank You Next, the tour itself, because the records were released so close together from 2018 to 2019. So yeah, now all these years later, don't forget she also released a record called Positions, and that was during the pandemic back in 2020. But it has been quite some time since both she released new music on her own and, of course, since we've spoken about her here on the podcast.
Definitely. And you know that whenever an artist takes his, her, their time to really release an album and they have a waiting period between album releases, you know that the anticipation is even higher when the album release eventually comes. And I can't imagine how long people were anticipating this release. Clearly,
the numbers don't lie.
Yeah, when the album eventually dropped, I mean, that alone right there is proof of just how excited people were for this release.
She's been quite busy the past few days. I'm talking about her album release day was on March 8th, the Friday. But then Saturday night, she performed at Saturday Night Live, and it marked her third appearance on the show and her first since 2016. So that has also been quite the wait for her to be a musical guest, and she performed two new tracks off the record, We Can't Be Friends and Imperfect for You. So that's something that I want to touch upon a little bit later. And then also, she was seen at the Oscars and she gave Billie Eilish her award. And I love seeing them share that moment. And yeah, she's just been very busy ever since the release. And can you blame her, really?
Not at all. And wow, it's really been that long since she was on SNL. That's crazy.
Right? Yeah.
Listen, all of this couldn't be happening at a crazier time in her life. I mean, it certainly sounds like she's doing one thing after the other, for sure. But all that said, let's get into this album. It's definitely a different beast altogether than the last album we reviewed on this podcast.
Oh, totally. It totally is. So first things first, I want to acknowledge the title of the record, Eternal Sunshine, and her love for Jim Carrey and the bond that they share. They both are major fans of each other's work creatively. So I thought it was really cool that the record name Eternal Sunshine is a reference to the movie, the 2004 movie starring Jim Carrey and Kate Winslet called Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. And it's a sci-fi romance movie that follows a couple that breaks up and then decides to erase each other from their memories through a medical procedure. Really fantastic movie. If any of you guys are listening to this and have no idea what that movie is and have never heard of it, or who's just familiar with Jim Carrey's comedic work and might not be familiar with this film, please go check this one out because it is a classic. It is such a good movie. Highly, highly recommend. It is apparently one of Ariana's favorite films. The title of her album and titling it Eternal Sunshine, she dubbed it a loosely based concept album. Her stating that it's all different heightened pieces of the same story, of the same experience. So people have been dubbing this record pretty much a divorce record. It's the emotions from pre and post divorce throughout the record, and that is being displayed throughout. In terms of the sonic landscape of this record, she didn't just go full-blown pop. Of course, it's going to be a pop record throughout, but there are influences of R&B, there are influences of dance music and house and synth pop. And when it comes to certain tracks on here, I have to imagine that there's a few nods in terms of influences, of musical influences that have helped shape the sonic landscape of this record. One of them being in We Can't Be Friends, sonically, it heavily is influenced by the song Dancing on My Own by Robin, which came out back in 2010, which is electropop, synth pop, heavy influences there on that song. And then you have The Boy Is Mine, which is also a nod to the great song that Eric and I grew up with. I know he's going to appreciate this nod. I'm talking about the OG version of The Boy Is Mine by Brandy and Monica, which came out back in the late 90s, 1998 to be exact. And yeah, the R&B influences in songs like True Story and The Boy Is Mine. I mean, she really brought heavy R&B influence, you could tell late 90s, early 2000s influence on those tracks. And then you have more of the electronic elements in By, the dance music vibe. You have that also, as I was saying earlier, on the track We Can't Be Friends, Wait for Your Love. And then also you have Yes And, which was the lead single off of this record. I mean, one of the major influences has to be Madonna with Vogue. So with that being said, going through some of these highlights, Eric, what do you think about these influences? What do you think about the different genres that she has sprinkled throughout? It's not just a standard run-of-the-mill pop album.
Oh yeah, not at all. But before I give you my thoughts on that, let me just go back to something you said prior. So first and foremost, I love that you and I have a lot of overlap in terms of how we each view the album. because the impression that I got from this album is that it's, I also believe that it's a loose concept album. There's no real linear story to it. Rather, it's an assortment of love and heartbreak songs.
Yeah.
So from what little I know about this album, or rather the history behind it, Ariana tried to, quote, showcase both sides of love. And judging from the lyrical content, she certainly delivered on that premise. There's certainly heartbreak, pain, and vulnerability as seen on songs like Bye, Don't Want to Break Up Again, We Can't Be Friends, Wait for Your Love, and I Wish I Hated You. And there's also bittersweetness as well, such as on the song Imperfect for You. But throughout all of the negative, there's also empowerment, like on the song Yes And. And with that empowerment, there's also some straightforwardness, such as on the song True Story, when she says, I'll play the villain if you need me to, I'll play whatever part you need me to, and I'll be good at it too. I really felt that when she said it, you know, it really,
oh, yeah.
it's a way of her, you know, trying to take control in a situation where she feels helpless. And I just truly love that she put that on display.
Disclaimer for those who are listening, we're not going to get into her personal life, and we're not going to get into the context behind this album. That's not what we're here for. We're here to talk about the music solely. But I do want to point out, because of course it's going to influence and have an impact on the writing process and recording process, it has to do with her divorce and basically one love ending and then another love reigniting those feelings again. And it's basically closing the chapter, or closing the book rather, on her previous and then now transitioning over to a new.
And you can certainly tell that that is what it is on this album. It certainly seems that she is telling a lot of loose narratives about, you know, ending one story, beginning another, and everything in between that's within those stories. And I really do love that, because it is a way of her, I guess, not necessarily venting, but it is a way of her letting all of those emotions out and allowing herself to experience catharsis without saying, this is specifically about me, or this is about what happened. And I think that in a situation where you go through so much personal turmoil and pain, sometimes it is important to kind of put that boundary between yourself and the listener.
Yeah, and when you are at her level of stardom, she is under a microscope at all times.
Oh, yeah.
So
totally.
That also has a lot to do with just leaving things up to interpretation at this point and letting people choose what they want to believe or what not to believe, whatever the case may be. So that's why I threw that disclaimer out there, because we're not here to talk about her personal life, her romance, her dating life. That's not what we're about here. We're about the music. And I believe that from a lot of turmoil, as you said, that she has been going through or has gone through in the past few years since we last spoke about her, she has quite a good amount to bring to the table here on this record.
Mm-hmm. I 100% agree. And just to kind of give the last bit of insight into my views on this album, I just want to say that I really appreciate that for all the moodiness that this album has, it ends on a really heartwarming note on the song Ordinary Things, as opposed to a painful one.
Featuring her actual grandmother.
Yeah, I figured. I love that so much, because it really says that, or rather, it really communicates to the listener that sometimes the only thing you really need to feel special and loved in a relationship is just the fact that your partner acknowledges you. You know, it's not about gifts. It's not about, you know, giving someone, you know, luxurious experiences or anything like that. Just the fact that they're in tune with you and they acknowledge your presence, that's all you need. And really, that's what's so priceless about being in a relationship where you feel loved and connected. And I love that she chose to end the album on that note, even if it's not like the big happy ending that, you know, sometimes you tend to get on albums like this. you know, it was a better ending than I personally thought was going to appear, because, you know, you're so used to so much heartbreak throughout these songs, you kind of wonder, is it going to end the same?
Right.
But I'm happy to know that she decided to end it on a more positive than negative note. So I feel like throughout the album, Ariana's nothing if not honest. And even though she says that some lines are hard to sing, ultimately it's better to hurt and to know that you're starting anew than to hurt because you're on an endless cycle.
I will say there is a good amount of self-reflection on this album for sure. And
yeah.
I just love that she's being human on this record. And that's all you can really ask from an artist is authenticity. Give me the real. Yeah. I want the real. I want the nitty gritty. I don't want everything to be perfectly polished with a bow. And I'm not talking about sonically. I'm talking about at the core of the music that they release. I don't want just some filler music. I want actual substance. And I feel like there are at least a handful of tracks on here that do have that.
Yeah, I will 100% agree with you on that. I do love that this isn't just your straightforward A to B, you know, heartbreak record. This really presents love from different angles, like she said that it would. You know, sometimes you have a basic, you know, love story, but then other times you have the more nuanced version of that. Like on some songs, she admits that she are just as toxic in the relationship, but that toxicity works because it's who they are, even though they know it's not good. And then in another song, really wanting to hate the other person, but admits that they can't because there's just way too much history there. And so I really do appreciate that it's not just about, you know, sharing grievances. This, you know, this person hurt me, this person broke my heart.
You're right. It's not just about trying to look good and paint yourself in a good light.
Exactly. It's also saying, you know, I share in some of that responsibility and I admit that.
Yeah.
But because this is my story, you know, this is how I feel about that. So I really do appreciate that she definitely tried to fit as much of the human condition within relationships as she could in this album, at least lyrically. Musically, the production on this album is really lush sonically, and I personally prefer it to Thank You Next. Everything comes through so clearly, and there's no part on the album where I can say things are too much or too uncomfortable, because I don't know about you, but there are some albums where just the noise of everything gets to be a little too much.
Some albums can be overwhelming, yeah.
Yeah, it takes a toll on my ears. But here, everything is just, you know, it's really in the sweet spot, if that makes any sense.
And on that note, too, shout out to Max Martin, because he's the producer on this thing, and he really assists in making this soar.
Let me just say this, as the kids say, I was today years old when I found out who this guy is and what his resume looks like.
No way, really? Oh yeah, he's one of the all-time great, especially in pop music.
This is the guy that's partially responsible for our late 90s, early 2000s youth.
Oh yeah, guys, we are talking about Britney Spears, Backstreet Boys, the whole nine.
Yeah, he's done Britney Spears' Baby One More Time, the Backstreet Boys' I Want It That Way, Celine Dion's That's the Way It Is, and NSYNC's It's Gonna Be Me. I mean,
what
those
a resume.
Four songs alone. Those four songs alone tell you what kind of producer he is. Not to mention, he's worked with other artists such as Pink, Usher, Avril Lavigne, Jessie J, Katy Perry, Christina Aguilera, Taylor Swift, The Weeknd, which in hindsight, I can definitely understand, you know, why it's him who worked on Dawn FM. Because,
you can hear
wow.
his touches, right? Yeah, now that you know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Hell yeah. But yeah, all those artists that you mentioned, we absolutely adore and respect here on the show. So it's incredible to hear that kind of resume and track record that Max Martin has. Yeah, he's definitely cemented in music history without a doubt.
Yeah, so when you hear songs like Yes And, Supernatural, The Boy Is Mine, how can you not, like, really just give it up to this man. I mean, I genuinely just love how varied this record is in terms of sounds, not just in terms of throwback sounds, of course, but just in terms of having each song have its own identity, which ideally is what you and I personally really love on an album.
There's nothing worse than when you listen to a record and it just sounds one note front to back. And what I love about this record is we are getting, of course, it's predominantly a pop record, but we are getting R&B. We are getting dance music influences. We are getting that electro pop. We are getting synth. And there's just so much more sprinkled throughout. And what better person to hint to those throwbacks, as you said, on these songs like Yes And, The Boy Is Mine, and having influences like that, We Can't Be Friends, than Max Martin himself.
Exactly. Just the thought of knowing that alone instantly just transforms at least my personal view of this record. And having heard the album front to back now, it makes me appreciate the fact that she chose the songs that she chose to perform on Saturday Night Live.
Yes, let's talk about that.
So for anyone who didn't watch the broadcast, one thing that already just really impressed the hell out of me was the stage setup, because normally whenever an artist performs on SNL, they perform on the same stage all the time. There's not much difference to it. But this time, they definitely made a departure from that. They arranged the stage in such a way that has Ariana Grande written all over it, if that makes sense. They have they had this like really big screen behind the band and her. And, you know, during one of the songs, the screen showed just this beautiful image of roaring ocean waves.
How beautiful song, was that?
That was so cool. That was amazing.
Right?
And then in the next song, the image was of a sunset overlooking a field of flowers, which was
another
beautiful
landscape.
You could almost feel like you're there. That's how realistic it looked.
Yeah, it was absolutely gorgeous.
Yes. And shout out to her backing band for really bringing those songs to life and, you know, giving them another kind of life even. Because, you know, everything sounds, you know, way different live. And
oh yeah,
course,
when you get the live experience, it's a totally different vibe than the record for most artists, but this was in a good way.
Oh yeah, absolutely. At the front and center of it all was Ariana's voice, as it always is when it comes to live performances. And I would even be willing to say that she gave her voice just a little more kick for these songs. I don't know about you, but that's just how I personally heard it.
I was just mesmerized the whole entire time, Eric. I'm not going to lie to you. When watching these performances, I specifically tuned in to watch these performances because I knew that we were going to be discussing all of this today. And I wanted to see how these new songs were going to translate in a live setting. And wow, it's just the feeling that you got watching them being performed and watching that beautiful backdrop change from song to song was just absolutely breathtaking. I think she did a really good job and she killed it. I mean, this was her first time, as I said earlier in the episode, her first time back as a musical guest since 2016. So this was a long time coming.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking of that, all of this, you know, the album release cycle, her appearances on SNL, and even being included in the cast of Wicked, I mean, it really just makes me truly appreciate just how far Ariana has come at only 30 years old. I mean, for those of us who remember her from her earliest days on the show Victorious, I mean, what a trajectory.
Yeah, it's wild to literally watch her grow up in front of our eyes and to see from Victorious, and then she got her own spinoff with Jeanette McCurdy, Sam and Kat, for her to pivot and then have this career in music. I mean, anybody that watched her early on during the Nickelodeon days could tell automatically that she had the vocal chops to really do the damn thing and go the distance. At least that's how I felt growing up watching her. But I think that it's just tremendous to see how far, as you said, that she's truly come since being on Nickelodeon, being a child star, being a kid star, and then now having this long-spanning career as a musician and having all of these records under her belt. This is, I don't know if I mentioned it before, but this is her 7th studio album. And she's only 30 years old. So, I mean, shout out to her work ethic. Shout out to her growth as a musician and as an artist. And then also, too, something I want to point out that I specifically heard on this record as opposed to others is between her last record, or I should say her last few records, and this record, something that I noticed that made a tremendous difference to me was the enunciation of her words when she sings. Because I'm not gonna lie, on previous tracks, on previous records, of course I would be vibing with them because I do enjoy her music. But there's been many times where I would have to go and look up the lyrics and read them along side by side as I'm listening to the music to really understand what she's fully saying and what's going on, because she wouldn't enunciate certain words to the best of her ability. And I feel like between this record and the last few records, you can tell that not only has she grown musically and matured as an artist lyrically, but you can definitely tell that she has been taking some type of vocal lessons. Partly, I'm going to say that's due to her being cast in Wicked and having that main role, and of course dedicating a good chunk of that time to that role and to that movie. So whether that be the case for it being that reason, or because she just wanted to do that on her own, I just appreciate that she's forever growing as an artist. This year is going to be quite the year for Ariana Grande. Between this record and Wicked, of course, coming out later this year, wow, she's having quite the year already. So I cannot wait to go see Wicked when it comes out.
Honestly, what a way to start off her 30s with such a big bang. It's honestly what most of us aspire to. So honestly, shout out to her for really starting this new decade of her life with such full force.
Yeah, Eric, I completely agree with that. So when listening to this record, of course we have our standouts and our highlights, but as with any record that we listen to, you're gonna have highs and you're gonna have lows. So with that being said, Eric, what was your least favorite track on this record? I figured it would be just a good way to just get this out the way, and then we can dive into some more highlights from Eternal Sunshine.
So, okay, I'll say my least favorite, and I'm really sorry. I don't really say this often, but I'm really sorry if I break anybody's heart with my pick. My least favorite was Bye.
Maybe that will be a mixed bag between people listening, because I feel like that's a song that when people listen to it, they're either going to really vibe with it, and because it's more in the dance pop realm and it's a fun one to throw in the background and have fun with, or it's a completely skippable track.
So you think it can go either way?
Yeah, I do think it could go either way. I think that people can either appreciate it for its dance pop, you know, more electronic sensibilities, or it's just going to be a skip. But for you personally, Eric, why was Bye your least favorite?
Even though I don't find anything wrong with it musically, the lyrics to Bye, like once I listened to the rest of the album, just kind of paled in comparison to the rest of the songs. I feel like the lyrics in Bye were just a little too minimalistic. I don't know. I just feel like the lyricism in the remaining 12 songs was more interesting than on Bye. Just my opinion.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from with that. Bye is, sonically, it's fun to listen to, but lyrically, it's kind of bland and run-of-the-mill and very much a skippable track. So that's what I mean by I feel like people listening to our show can be very divided on. It could be either a track that people will throw on the playlist because it sounds great, or if they're actually tuned in, then, you know, if they're tapped into it, then they might find that it doesn't have as much to offer as some of these other tracks.
Yeah, totally get it. How about you? What was your least favorite song on this album?
Okay, so my least favorite track on this album is I Wish I Hated You.
Okay. Why is that?
First of all, it was extremely hard to pick a least favorite, to be honest with you, because I either genuinely liked most of these songs. There's one song specifically that I absolutely love, which of course we will get to, but I genuinely like majority of these songs, and then the ones that are just like meh to me, I'm kind of indifferent about. So there was no just singular, I have such a strong feeling towards this song, I do not like it at all kind of emotion coming from me. I do want to be real with that on here before I get into why I picked I Wish I Hated You.
Listen, I totally understand you. You know, there are some albums we've reviewed where I've genuinely had to work hard for a reason to have it be my least favorite.
Which, I might add, is a great problem to have. So there's
that. Of course.
It means that
the entire body of work is more often than not really solid.
Yes. So the reason why I picked I Wish I Hated You, simply because it kind of slows down the pacing of the album. And to me, it's more of a skippable track, more of a filler track than some of these other tracks. Now, I know we actually have filler tracks on here, so to speak, because you have the Saturn Returns interlude, even the intro, parentheses, End of the World. That's a quick little fill in before we go full blown into Bye. So I didn't want to choose either of those because I feel like that would be a cop out by choosing one of those. So to pick a legitimate full fledged song, that's why I picked I Wish I Hated You.
And listen, the speed bump problem is a very valid reason to pick a song as your least favorite, because, you know, you could have an awesome flow to an album, but then if a song that doesn't sound like it's cohesive with the rest of it rears its head, you know, that could really destroy the flow of an album or just the fun nature of an album when you're listening to it.
And I will say, too, while we're talking about aspects that could have been better from this record, I do appreciate the diverseness of the sonic palette of the album. Of course, we expressed that numerous amounts of times already. But I will say that it's kind of a fake out when you get introduced to this album, because you go into the intro, which is just like a quick little clip into Bye. And then Bye starts out super upbeat and you have more of that dance music influence on it. And then, mind you, the lead single off of this record was Yes End. And to me, other than Bye and aspects of We Can't Be Friends, Yes End is the only true dance song on this record, meaning that she kind of faked everybody out thinking that with the lead single, the rest of the record was going to be in the same vein. We do get glimpses of that throughout, but in terms of it as a whole, there's definitely so much more than just dance music elements on here. So I could see why that could be off-putting for some people if you had the expectation, because as Eric said, there's a lot of anticipation built around this release. So if you had any expectation of, oh, wow, so this is her lead single, Yes End, so clearly this is the direction she's going in, it was kind of a tease because she did to an extent, but did she fully dive into that and tap into that? Not necessarily.
Yeah. Can you imagine what it must have been like for someone listening to that single first and thinking... We're gonna get an after laughter situation on our hands where, you know, you've got sad lyrics to beat tempos, and then when you listen to the whole thing, it's like, oh, that was it?
Right, so. Exactly. Thank you, Eric, because that's why I'm bringing this up. That's exactly what I mean, is I thought that we were gonna get tracks throughout this thing that had that influence backed behind it, But instead, we got kind of a mixed bag sonically. Not that I'm upset with that, but this track in particular, I feel like it's very skippable and it kind of weighs the record down a bit.
Well, listen, that's a totally valid argument because I've had that argument before. So, honestly, it totally makes sense, in my opinion. But with our least favorites out of the way, with the negative out of the way, now we can get to the fun part, which is actually our favorites off this album.
Yes, and that was way easier to to pick a batch of favorites off this record. Eric, go ahead, lay them on me, because we might have some overlap and not even know it.
Listen, knowing us, I think we definitely do, especially on this one. So just to name some of my favorites, Ordinary Things, Imperfect for You, The Boy Is Mine, Supernatural, and Yes And. How do you not love that song?
So good, so good. You see what I mean, though? That was such a tease of what could have been. And maybe perhaps on the next record, there'll be more dance music and electronic elements to it. You never know. I mean, look at Dua Lipa. When she fully went in, she went in, and that record took off. Future Nostalgia with the disco and dance elements went crazy. So you never know.
Listen, one can hope. One can hope.
All great tracks. And yeah, we have a bunch of overlap. So wait.
Not surprising.
Say your tracks one more time.
So my favorites are Ordinary Things, Imperfect for You,
yep.
The Boy Is Mine,
yep.
Supernatural, yep. And Yes And.
Wow, yeah, honestly, honestly, Eric, and I'm not just saying this to agree for the sake of agreeing, all those tracks are also, and also We Can't Be Friends. I do appreciate...
That's another good one, too.
Yeah, I really do appreciate We Can't Be Friends. My personal favorites off this record, and I'll get to the one that I absolutely love. I don't know. Do you have one that solely... If you could just pick one that solely stands out to you? Because I have one that
totally.
I absolutely adore.
Yes. Yes And.
Okay.
This is my absolute favorite.
Okay. That is, like, such a track. So, okay. Pump the brakes. Here we go. Okay. So, some of my favorites off this record... ginormous overlap with Eric is Yes And, The Boy Is Mine, We Can't Be Friends, Imperfect for You, and Supernatural. I love this song. I've had it on repeat. I think that this is going to be a sleeper hit. I hope she makes it a single off of this record. So far, the only two singles are Yes and that was to promote the record. And now with the record being out, she released We Can't Be Friends, Wait For Your Love as a single. So I think that song can just go extreme heights. I think that anybody who hasn't had a chance to listen to this track should. Do not sleep on this one. Absolutely adore it. My absolute favorite from this record, hands down. And going back to a lot of our overlap, let's just discuss these tracks. I mean, The Boy Is Mine, that R&B influence.
You can clearly hear the Brandy and Monica influence there. Clearly.
We have Imperfect for You, the way that she sings it and the composition of it. And then you have Yes And.
Yes And, oh my God.
Wow, that song is just such a banger.
From start to finish.
That song goes hard.
I'm just going to say what I said during our Fall Out Boy episode about the song What a Time to Be Alive. Hate the rest of this album all you want, but please don't hate this song.
This song has that same energy as that track.
It does. It does. It is just infectious. The
Super
bass
upbeat.
Is just pulsating. Her vocal is on fire.
It's bombastic. And I just gushed over Supernatural. But why did you pick it as one of your favorites?
So, first of all, I'm shocked that it wasn't a single because it's got single material.
Right! Thank you! Thank you!
And second, if I had to pick a second favorite, that would be it.
Oh, those, Eric,
this
thank
one,
you, man.
This one and Yes And are like right up to me, they're neck and neck.
Yeah, those are the takeaways from this record for sure.
It just has such a, well, this is just me, it has such an 80s vibe to it.
Oh,
like,
yes.
Such a vintage 80s vibe to it.
Yes.
And I love that Troye Sivan is the guest on the remix because it just makes so much sense. Like, given his musical style, I can't see anybody else being the guest.
Real quick, let me give a shout out to Troye Sivan because, man, oh man, do I love him as a musician. His record Bloom back in 2018 was on repeat the entire year and years after. I love that record. And then recently, he just came out with another album, Something to Give Each Other, last year, which is definitely worth giving a listen to that as well. But anybody that's a fan of Troye Sivan knows that on his record Bloom, his guest feature on that record on a track called Dance to This was Ariana Grande. When you listen to that track, and if you haven't yet, go back and listen to that track and you hear their voices together. At that point, I was just like, they need to collaborate on everything together because the way that I feel about Ariana Grande and Troye Sivan is the exact same feeling that I have with Ariana Grande and The Weeknd. No matter what track you throw them on, they cannot do any wrong. Their voices together on the same track, they just mesh so incredibly well to each other's strong suits. And let me tell you, I was already in love with Supernatural on its own. And then when this slightly deluxe, because that's what she's calling it, my God, with Troye Sivan, that's the takeaway from the deluxe. Whew, man, that's some good stuff. That's some good stuff. So whether it be that version or the standard version, but some way this song has to be a single. I'm putting it out in the universe. We'll see if this ages well or not, Eric.
Let's hope it does. And I just want to say I totally agree with you, and I love that Supernatural is a full circle moment in a way, because it just brings them back together.
Now, in terms of Ariana's discography, because quite a few people have asked me, where would you rank this record in her overall discography? And that's tough. That's tough to say because it literally just came out. It's super fresh. You don't want the recency bias to kick in just because you're excited about new music. But in all fairness, I will say, and I can stand by this 1000%, this record is leagues above Positions, which came out in 2020. Actually, at the time, we didn't get to cover it on the podcast at the time when it came out. But my feeling about Thank You Next and Sweetener was so strong that I just felt like she kept building, building, building throughout her catalog. By the time Positions came out, it felt to me personally like a major regression. And then, of course, kicked in the disappointment. But with this record, Eternal Sunshine, I feel like it brings her right back on track. And I feel like this record is going to age significantly better than Positions, in my opinion. Is it my favorite record? No, not by any means. Is it my least favorite record? Of course not. I will say Thank You Next is still my personal favorite record out of her discography, and Sweetener is also up there. And of course, I appreciate Dangerous Woman. It's hard. Let me tell you, it's hard to where I would place Eternal Sunshine. I don't know if I would place it. To me, it has to be somewhere in the middle. If I had to place it somewhere, it'd be somewhere in the middle of her discography, but absolutely to me, leagues above Positions. So I am very happy to be covering this record and to bring that good news to the table of feeling that musically she's back, and I cannot wait to see where she goes from here.
Well, I'm glad to hear that her album falls somewhere in the middle within your ranking of her discography. But how does it fare individually is the question.
I'm glad you asked, Eric. Out of 5 stars, I'm going to give this bad boy, I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5 stars on this. Potentially 3.5, because there's definitely room to grow throughout the rest of this year with repeated listens. But right now, I feel comfortable. I would rate it at a 3 out of 5 stars. And what about you?
So I would rank it a 3.5 to 4 stars
nice,
out of 5.
Nice. I'm glad that you enjoyed it, Eric.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Certainly a lot more than I thought I would.
Eric, you know what I love about this show before we close it out? I love that there'll be some times where I'll tell you to listen to artists or listen to certain records. Sometimes I'm just so pleasantly surprised by how you receive music and what really latches on and really resonates with you.
Listen, the way I used to listen to music, way different than how I listen to music now. You know, now I have a much more deeper appreciation just for music in general. Boundaries like genres and things like that don't matter to me as much anymore. So I think the lesson that can be taken from at least my personal experience and from what Lisa said is, you know, don't ever close yourself off to different genres. You know, sometimes it's good to step out of your comfort zone because chances are you're going to find something that sometime later you're going to be saying, how could I have ever lived without that? You know, and that's how I feel about a bunch of different genres now. I really feel like I lived a lot of my life just depriving myself of such amazing music. And I'm glad that I've gotten to a point where, you know, things like genre and things like that aren't really a deal breaker for me anymore.
So guys, don't deprive yourself of listening to the new Ariana Grande record. Go give it a listen and let us know what you think. And to those who have already gave Eternal Sunshine a listen, we want to know what you thought about her 7th studio album. Did you enjoy the record? Was it everything that you expected it to be? What are some of your favorite songs? What is your least favorite song? We want to know it all, you guys, so make sure you head on over to musicmattersmedia.com and let us know over there. And don't forget to follow us on social media @musicmattersmedia, and we'll see you in the next one.